When it comes to funding public goods, right now, I think a lot of people would agree that the space in general of funding the right public goods is not as efficient as it could be, especially because some public food goods get the support and others that might really need it and might really make a difference don't. So if from your perspective, especially because you are in this space, how do you see the public goods landscape evolving in the coming years and low dollar space place, pardon me, in that evolving landscape?
Great question, super tricky one. Maybe I should have led with this in my previous answer as well.
I'd love to hear your opinion and like really your perspective of where you see things going.
Yeah, for sure. Well, so one interesting thing is that because of what I said earlier and how we try to be a very lean organization that really only focuses on very narrow things, I think we try not to influence that debate too much deliberately right now. So we just fund other organizations and we let them think about these problems a lot. That said, I would like to see more public goods funding methods. Right now, a lot of public goods funding that's out there is mostly reactive. I would like to see some more proactive funding happening as well, more sort of like RFP-based public goods funding as well. I feel like Optimism does this fairly well with their mission requests approach, for instance, but that's a pretty convoluted process. It isn't very popular in other parts of the ecosystem either. I would love to see something that's a little bit more lean, faster, and sort of emergent than that as well, a little bit more crowdsourced and spontaneous. And I think it's unlikely that we'll see very great public goods funding environments emerging automatically. Like, it's just really hard to do this well. And you see this in generic open source funding as well, with like all of these libraries that are super core to large parts of the world being maintained on a shoestring budget. So I think it's a really hard problem that is hard to completely fix. And it's probably impossible to do it entirely. But I would love to see new ways that especially reach the sort of underserved, underestimated organizations or individuals. And how to do that entirely, or how to do that exactly, I do not know. I do know, however, that if we grow sufficiently large and we're going to be distributing lots more dollars on a yearly basis, we're going to need to have better answers to these types of questions. Because let's say right now there's about 1.2 billion in stable coins on Optimism. That nets approximately 40 million per year. Let's say we would capture all of that, right? If you put 40 million on the existing public goods funding mechanisms right now, you're making a few, it's just likely to end up a little bit too concentrated. And of course, one would hope that this would also attract new people, but you're going to need new methods that are able to deal with these large numbers. And that's only Optimism, right? If you add Base to the mix, you're going to get 130 million per year. Or if you get Ethereum on top of it, and let's say we capture the same amount of stablecoins that are currently on Ethereum already, because the stablecoin market is also growing 110% on average per year in the past 5 years, then we would be distributing $3 billion per year in donations. And that's just an insane amount of money to be distributing to all of these public goods projects. So we're going to need better capital allocation techniques for very large numbers of money as well. But let's fix that once we get there. I think right now, I would love to see more. So to summarize, I would love to see more sort of emergent, crowdsourced, sort of RFP-based funding for public goods. Similar, really, to Optimism's mission request, but really stripped down, I would say. Really back to its core with a lot less overhead and maybe almost like, you know, Bounty Caster by Linda Xie. I think that is a fantastic model, which I would love to see organizations embrace a lot more. And maybe actually in a similar vein is the Scouts game, if you've heard of that.
From Chris?
You
mean like the Scout game, right? From Chris Carella.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's also a fantastic technique. It doesn't really look like capital allocation yet, but it really has a lot of the same opportunities, I feel. And I know that, for instance, the Cello team is sponsoring a lot there as well, which I think is really instrumental in making that work very well.
On that point, and it's great that you mentioned like both Bounty Caster and Scout Game. They're quite, when you think of them at first, you don't necessarily think, oh, that's a public good. But when you dive deeper into it, it actually is. So my follow-up question over there is like, following up these examples, there's a lot of people that on one side would love to build businesses, but on the other side, they love public goods as well. How does, like, from your experience, it might be a fairly difficult question to answer. I'm just going to try my luck here. Like, when someone builds public good and someone wants to also build, like, a for-profit project, like, how do you find that intersection to provide something that is actually valuable and useful for the community, and it allows you to sustain yourself so you don't necessarily only have to rely on grants? And like Bounty Caster and Scouts Game, I think, are a great example of that as well. But from your perspective, like, what are the things that developers should keep in mind when developing public goods, and what are the things that they should pay specific attention to so the project keeps on going and they are not like put in a corner practically?
It's a great question. Not sure I have immediate great answers, but I'll try my best. So the first thing that comes to mind for me is actually, if you're building something that people clearly like or they think is a great idea, then maybe actually the grants are fine to live out of for a couple of years and maybe even longer. In our case, we're starting to find a framework that might work for us to get recurring funding as well. So we are structured as a nonprofit. We 100% live off of donations. So we also raise through matching funding rounds with periodic funding on Gitcoin or Giveth, but we also have wealthy individuals that donate to us. But increasingly, we're also finding that every chain out there needs to have reliable stablecoins. Our stablecoin is pretty reliable and is starting to get some reputation, and some chains are willing to pay for the privilege of having our stablecoin be on their chain. And this is basically similar to how some open source software is sponsored by large organizations. We sort of first never got that type of donations in, but now almost 2 years in, we're starting to be well known enough that people are willing to do that. And there is a certain quid pro quo element to it, in which it's really just a service we're selling, but it's limited because, well, we're not trying to seek a large profit here. It's really just a sort of fixed price model. It's not we're not trying to extract the most money out of it. I think that's probably something you need to try to find whenever you're building a public goods. Like, try to position yourself as a sort of utility that then certain parties are willing to pay a fair price for, and then experiment with that pricing or experiment with the call to donations. But probably don't try to rush the how do I sustain myself element too quickly, because if you start, you cannot basically demand these types of prices straight away. And you know, it is kind of unfair because for profits, they can raise venture capital. That's also selling something, right? And it's a great model. It allows you to do the same thing. You never need to charge anyone and first figure out your business. But yeah, as a public good, you kind of do the same thing, but then you're much more restricted in terms of the resources that you're able to gather because you're reliant on these types of donation mechanisms. Yeah, so I think my principal advice would be don't try to rush it. Find what makes it work first, and then you can add in elements later on as well.
Yeah, it makes perfect sense when you like, and I think excellent answer. Like, find what works, find what helps. Figure it out from there. It's going to be for everyone. It's not like a, here's the blueprint.
And maybe there's actually, you know, even that approach isn't super easy. If you look at Gitcoin, for instance, Gitcoin, fantastic organization, has done so much for the ecosystem, has allocated so much capital in fantastic ways, has led to the start of so many cool organizations. But they are also trying to find this repeatable model that allows them to gather revenue, that allows them to continue to exist. And they're still really struggling with that, as far as I can tell from the outside. Like, I don't really have insider information, but to me, it looks like it is not a walk in the park, despite all of the great work that they're doing. And maybe, you know, it is sort of the definition of a public good to have a challenging time getting people to pay for it. That's why the term was invented. And maybe that's sort of the reality that we need to operate in. And you just need to make those connections, talk to the organizations that are willing to fund you. Like, maybe you need to go talk to specific chain foundations. Maybe it's wealthy individuals. And perhaps that's even the largest bit of advice I can give to budding public goods builders out there. It's really a people business. Like, you need to shake hands, talk to people, tell your story. You can do a lot online. And at first, I was very reluctant to sort of go the physical sneaker network route. But it turns out that once we started doing that, that was really what started truly opening doors. Or, well, it sort of opened tiny little windows, and then once we kept pushing, it started making some progress. But yeah, has been very effective.
Yeah, that's some amazing insights as well. Like, even in real life, like, we're also so used to doing stuff online that having that in-person touch, especially in this industry, is just invaluable. It can go such a long way.
Yeah, and this industry is super frantic, right? You can be on the internet for 24 hours. You can find a gazillion new projects, and then you've forgotten about that really great one already. Just meeting someone in person makes a difference to stand out. And I particularly know a lot of sort of engineers that are reluctant to go to these sorts of events because people suck. I also don't want to go to them in my free time necessarily, but it is a great way to actually meet people and get stuff done.